This Brigham Young University Idaho devotional address by first-year experience director Stephanie Colvin was delivered September 30th, 2025.
Stephanie L. Colvin began her journey as a college student at Ricks College and attended BYU and Augustana College in Sioux Falls, South Dakota. Before returning to earn her undergraduate degree from BYU-Idaho, she completed a master's degree in leadership with an emphasis in training and development from Northeastern State University. For the past 13 years, Stephanie has worked at BYU-Idaho in various roles and now serves as the director of first year experience. Her greatest joy comes from her family. She and her husband of 32 years have 4 children and 3 grandchildren. In the church, Stephanie has served in various leadership roles at the ward and stake level in the primary, young women, and early society. But her most cherished calling has been serving in the nursery. She loves baking, beachcombing, and spending time with her family and continually learning.
Brothers and sisters, friends, and fellow disciples of Jesus Christ, I want to begin today with an invitation. As we gather in this devotional, will you open your heart and mind to what the Spirit might teach you? Pay attention to your thoughts, your feelings, and those quiet impressions that come. I testify that a loving Heavenly Father is aware of you. He knows your situation, your struggles, and your desires, and through His Spirit, He will give you the exact message you need today. A couple of years ago, our family captured a milestone moment, the very first steps of our granddaughter, Lily.
Okay, oh. Baby, you gotta balance.
Those wobbly, tentative steps may not have looked like much at the moment, but for Lily and for her parents, they changed everything. First came walking, then running, then jumping, and now occasional parkour moves across our living room furniture. That's the nature of a first. It may start small, but it opens the door to growth and possibilities that would never come otherwise. Think about your own first. First time riding a bike. First day of kindergarten, first paycheck, or first time driving your own car, first date. Maybe some of you experienced that at date night last week, and it sounds like second dates might be a possibility. First time holding your own child. Each of these moments is more than just a memory. They are turning points. And the gospel itself is filled with sacred and essential firsts. The first vision, which opened a new dispensation and changed the course of history. The first presidency who guide the church under Christ's direction. The first article of faith lays the foundation of discipleship in just a few simple words. Firsts matter and shape who we become. But let's be real, not all firsts feel easy. Before I turned 18, my family had moved 20 times. That meant many first days at new schools, many times walking into a cafeteria wondering where to sit. Many times I introduced myself, hoping someone would want to be my friend. From this photo of awkward junior high Stephanie, you can tell I was trying very hard. I mean, who wears a blazer to junior high, really? Some of you are facing some hard firsts right now. First semester away from home. First time living with roommates who don't do their dishes. First heartbreak when you really like someone and they don't return the feeling. First upper division class that makes you question your capabilities, a first calling that may feel overwhelming. Researchers have actually given a name to this. It's called the W curve theory of adjustment to college. And for the record, we are right here. In the beginning, everything is exciting. The start of a new semester, new roommates, new classes, new friends, new experiences and independence. Then in weeks 3 through 5, reality sets in. Assignments pile up, homesickness creeps in, and the news suddenly feels heavy. And you begin to wonder, am I cut out for this? Did I make the right choice? If you feel that way or know someone who does, please know you are not failing. It's normal. You're experiencing the W curve. But here's the very best news. There is a way forward. The way through the W curve and all of life's challenges is to put God first. Several years ago, I was scheduling a meeting and I noticed something on a colleague's calendar. Every morning, she had a block of time labeled First Things First. I never asked her exactly what that meant, but I did know this. She was making space for what mattered most to her before work and the world could crowd it out. That phrase stayed with me, first things first. It makes me ask, what are the first things in my life, and am I putting them first? Near the end of his ministry, the Savior was confronted by a Pharisee who asked him a loaded question. Master, which is the great commandment in the law? The law of Moses contained over 600 precepts, and the question was meant to challenge Jesus. Without hesitation, he answered, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it, Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. The Gospels of Mark and Luke add one more phrase, and with all thy strength. So why is this the first commandment? Because God made it first, not as a suggestion, but a foundation. Every other law, every other principle, every other act of discipleship rests on this one. And notice the order. We cannot fully live the second commandment to love our neighbor unless we live the first. When our service flows out of love for God, it takes on eternal meaning. We don't serve to be liked. We don't serve to be noticed. We serve because we love him. President Russell M. Nelson reminded us, when we love God with all our hearts, he turns our hearts to the well-being of others in a beautiful, virtuous cycle. I learned this truth in a profound way as a young mother when I was diagnosed with a rare and debilitating illness while expecting my youngest child. There were days I begged Heavenly Father for relief. I pleaded for the protection and life of my unborn baby. I wondered if I could endure. My prayers for healing were not answered in the way I wanted them to be, and yet I was carried by tender mercies and by small, quiet acts of service, most of them anonymous. I will never forget one day that was particularly challenging. A soft knock on my front door led me to find a simple decoration someone had left for me on my porch. No note, no recognition, just love, done for me because of him. It was a reminder that the love of God transforms the way we love one another. Elder D. Todd Christofferson teaches us, the bottom line is that God commands us to love him because of what he knows it will do for us. He commands us to love one another for the same reason. Love of God transforms us. Love of God transforms our love for each other. This love is requisite for our coming to know him, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom he has sent. It is the key to our becoming like him. The scriptures are filled with people who live the first commandment. Daniel prayed openly, even when it meant being thrown into the lion's den. Lehi left behind everything familiar to follow the Lord. Abinadi gave his life to testify of Christ. Peter and Andrew, when called by Jesus, straightway left their nets and followed him. And of course, the most remarkable example is the Savior himself. From the beginning, Jesus Christ declared, For I came down from heaven, not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. When we examine the life of the Savior, we see his pattern of obedience, even when the cost was unthinkable. In Gethsemane, on Calvary, he submitted by saying, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. Ultimately, the crowning act of his love for God was the resurrection itself. He said, I laid down my life that I might take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. Through his perfect obedience, he put his Father first and opened eternal life for all of us. So how do we follow his example and put God first in our lives? President Dallin H. Oaks reminds us that the way that we love God with all of our heart, soul, and mind is through keeping his commandments. That focus on loving God and keeping his commandments seems simple in concept, but more difficult in practice because we all live in what some call the attention economy. Here's the reality. Your attention is one of the most valuable commodities in the world. Companies know they can't create more hours in your day, so instead they compete for your focus. Think about it. Every ping or notification from Instagram or TikTok, every streaming service that autoplays the next episode, every gaming platform is built to keep you clicking and leveling up. All of it is designed to keep your eyes locked on a screen for as long as possible. Psychologist, economist, and Nobel laureate Herbert A. Simon said it best, "A wealth of information creates a poverty of attention." Isn't that true? We are drowning in information but starving for focus. And here's the danger. God doesn't become secondary because we openly reject him. He becomes secondary because we crowd him out. Prayer requires focus. Scripture study requires stillness. Temple worship requires time. And in an attention economy, those very things are what gets squeezed to the margins of our lives. It's not that we don't love God. It's that we've given the best of our attention away. And sometimes, without noticing, the first great commandment gets edged out. The words of a prophet ask us to consider.
Are you willing to let God prevail in your life? Are you willing to let God be the most important influence in your life? Will you allow his words, his commandments, and his covenants to influence what you do each day? Will you allow his voice to take priority over any other? Are you willing to let whatever he needs you to do take precedence over every other ambition? Are you willing to have your will swallowed up in his?
In today's fast-paced world filled with distractions and constant noise, the Lord knew one of our most significant challenges would be making time for him. Through the prophet Isaiah, he gave this counsel, "In returning and rest shall you be saved. In quietness and in confidence shall be your strength." Yet too often we choose the opposite. We rush, we fill our days with endless activities. We go faster and faster. And in doing so, we move further away from God. I learned this lesson in a very personal and powerful way. About a year and a half ago, I was being pushed harder than ever, professionally, personally, and academically. Work, graduate school, family, church responsibilities all piled up. I often felt like I was in pure survival mode. During that time, I often thought about going to the temple, but every time I felt overwhelmed. I couldn't imagine carving out that much time. Surely the Lord understood my heart, I reasoned. Surely he knew that some of my demands were out of my control. I just rationalized, I justified. I convinced myself that I was doing the best that I could. With that backdrop, my husband suggested a quick getaway to Logan, Utah. The thought of stepping away, slowing down, and catching my breath sounded exactly like what I needed. But then he told me he'd made a temple appointment for Saturday morning, and I'll be honest, I wasn't thrilled. The thought of giving up a leisurely morning was not what I had in mind. Still, I got up, put on a dress, and we drove to the Logan Temple. When we arrived, the parking lot was packed. We circled once, no luck. We circled twice, still nothing. Even the street parking was gone. By the third time around, I was convinced this was a sign. Maybe tending the temple wasn't in our best interest after all. And then, right in front of the temple, a spot opened up. My husband quickly pulled in and hopped out, excited about our front row blessing. As I gathered my things, I heard him talking to someone in front of our car. It was then that I heard the voice. It was our own President Meredith. There in Logan, far from home, stood the university president, a general authority, husband, father, with all of the time demands that those roles entailed. And where was he? At the temple, putting first things first. That moment pierced my heart. I walked into the temple humbled, repentant, and grateful. I don't know if the Lord could have placed a single person in my path that would have had such an impact. But through that tender mercy, I was reminded, no matter how busy we are or what competes for our time, we still need to put him first, and we are accountable to him for following the first great commandment. Elder Christofferson teaches, Let me mention just one more way we enshrine the first commandment as first in our lives. It is to live with a sense of accountability to God, accountability for the direction of our lives and for each day of our lives. This is not a burdensome, weigh you down kind of accountability. Rather, it is the acknowledgement of a wise, interested, and caring Father who knows the path to fulfillment and ultimate joy. This kind of accountability requires intentional action. Sister Rebecca L. Craven, former Second Counselor in the General Young Women's Presidency, said, "Being a disciple of Jesus Christ involves more than just hoping or believing. It calls for effort, movement, and commitment. It requires that we do something, being doers of the word and not hearers only." So take 20 seconds right now and write down one small concrete action, something that you can do today to put God first. Maybe it's your phone face, putting your phone face down or away during prayer, reading the scriptures before you open social media, or attending the temple. Please do that now. Will you please check in with yourself at the end of your day today and see if you were able to put him first in some small way? Elder Christofferson shares that even small efforts can bring us peace. He said, "We come to understand that he is rejoiced with even the smallest efforts we make to love him with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. What greater reassurance and peace could you have than the witness of the Holy Spirit to your spirit that your Heavenly Father and your Redeemer are pleased with you and your course in life?" I see many students at BYU Idaho who show through their daily actions what they put first. Last December, we asked in our department if any student employees might be willing to carol to the home of a full-time employee whose husband faced a daunting cancer diagnosis. I didn't know what to expect. It was the end of a semester. Finals were looming. It was freezing cold. And it was a Sunday night. But standing on a quiet country road in Salem, just outside of Rexburg, I couldn't hold back the tears as car after car arrived and students gathered to express God's love to someone who needed it. They were putting first things first. And just recently, I watched a group of students who sacrificed a Saturday morning of much needed sleep to attend the temple together. They went not because it was convenient, but because they had covenanted to put God first. These small and quiet sacrifices speak volumes. President Ezra Taft Benson taught, "When we put God first, all other things fall into their proper place or drop out of our lives. Our love of the Lord will govern the claims for our affection, the demands of our time, the interests we pursue, and the order of our priorities." So let me ask you, what's competing for first place in your life right now? What's claiming your time and attention? What small shift could you make this week to let God prevail in your life? I want to close with this hopeful and critical testimony given by Jeffrey R. Holland. "The first great commandment of all eternity is to love God with all of our heart, might, mind, and strength. That's the first great commandment. But the first great truth of all eternity is that God loves us with all of his heart, might, mind, and strength. That love is the foundation stone of eternity, and it should be the foundation stone of our daily life. Indeed, it is only with that reassurance burning in our soul that we can have the confidence to keep trying to improve, keep seeking forgiveness for our sins, and keep extending that grace to our neighbor. That's why we keep trying. That's why we repent. That's why we put him first. In coming days and weeks, when life gets busy or feels overwhelming and you are bombarded with many things pulling you away from loving God, turn to him, prioritize him, and spend time seeking him. By putting first things first, you will become more like him. I want to add my personal testimony that when I have chosen him before convenience, comfort, and even my understanding, he has never failed me. I testify that he is aware of you. He knows your sacrifice, effort, and desire to be faithful. And as you put him first, he will multiply your capacity in ways that you could not imagine. In the sacred name of Jesus Christ, amen.
For more information about this program, please visit the BYU-Idaho website at byu.edu/devotionals.